Good morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today, Lord. Thank you that for a brand new day. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Father. Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit here, Father God. Come and minister to us, Father God, that whatever that is on your heart, Father God. I pray that you'll anoint me, my tongue, Father God, that whatever I speak, Father God, will be of you, Lord. And anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that you'll refrain me from speaking it out, Lord. And if it's due to my disobedience, I speak anything out of my flesh, Lord, I pray that it will not register to people that are listening, Father God. We want to thank you. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So, good morning. Today, we'll be talking about today's Lent, day 18. And we'll be reading two chapters, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 21, and Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 22. So we'll try to do it in a bit of a different order. So we'll read Luke first, and then go to the One app and read the devotion, and we'll do the corporate prayer for Hong Kong together. And then we'll watch the video, and then we'll read Acts, and then I'll share a bit about my personal devotion on that. So, yeah, let's start with Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 21. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who hear, who hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So we'll read from the devotion from the One app. Today's reading can sound harsh, as if Jesus is disowning his family. But we know that this is not the case. One of the last acts of Jesus on the cross was to provide for his mother. But in verse 21, he also recognizes a larger family of faith who hears his word and do them. Later in Luke, 11, a woman will cry out that Jesus' mother must be truly blessed for raising such a good son. Jesus responded that the one who is truly blessed is the one who not only hears his word, but keeps them. On this Lenten journey, we are hearing Jesus' word daily. Are we keeping them? Let's do the corporate prayer for Hong Kong. Let's pray it out together. Father, we pray for those who suffer from mental illness of the one description or another. We recognize that this is a major issue, and we pray that those who suffer might seek proper advice and counsel, and that organizations like MIND would minister in love and freedom. Amen. So now we'll watch the video.
Today we're listening to Acts 10, and this is the story of Cornelius, who comes to Peter to hear the gospel. Now, it's an amazing story because we've already seen in Matthew 28 and in Luke 24 and Matthew 24 that Jesus was expecting the disciples to take the gospel to every language and nation. And we saw in Acts 2, people, but they were Jews, hearing the word of God in every language. But the disciples still hadn't got it. So God now has to bring Peter to a place of hunger, drops a sheet in front of him three times, tells him to rise, kill, and eat, but they're unclean animals. And Peter says, no, nothing unclean has ever crossed my lips. And God tells him, don't call unclean what I've called clean. Cornelius has sent his servants. They come, and Peter is instructed to go with them. He goes hesitantly, as you can see in the story. And when he appears, they tell him that he's had a dream. Please share with us the gospel. Peter uncomfortably does, and the Holy Spirit falls on them without them touching, which is what was needed because later on, the disciples are attacked by the rest of the community. Why did you preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to the unclean? And he goes through and tells the story about how the Holy Spirit fell on him without him doing anything. And so how could he deny them baptism? This is an important story because it shows that from the beginning, Jesus Christ had determined that every language, every tribe, every people, including you and I, were to hear and be a part of the family of God.
Okay, let's read Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 22. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. A devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice came to him again, a second time. What God had made clean, do not call common. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. While Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. "Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason of your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the Jewish nation, by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear what you have to say." Amen. So as we just watched in the video, that like the heart of Jesus is that all nations are supposed to hear his word. And as I was reading, I mean, both Luke and Acts, I'm glad that Luke was pretty self-explanatory. I'm glad the disciples asked what the parable meant. So, and I was reading Acts, the story of Cornelius and Peter stood out, especially that how God orchestrated for them to meet. On one side, Cornelius, an angel showed up to him and then told him to send people to bring Peter to his house. On the other end, Peter had a vision. And while he was pondering the vision, three men came, and the Holy Spirit tell him that to go and say, go to their place, back to Caesarea. So when I was reading this, I was like having a question, and asked myself, like, why did the angel didn't directly tell Cornelius what to do? Why did the angel ask Cornelius to send someone to go and bring Peter to his place? Why all this trouble? When the angel was standing face to face, he could have just told them whatever Peter was supposed to tell him, right? Why go through all that trouble? There must be something that God wants us to learn from this. This actually, as I was doing the studies, this actually isn't the first time God used this method or this way. Actually, in Acts 8, Acts 9, and now in Acts 10. In Acts 8, we see that Philip is asked to go and speak to the Ethiopian eunuch, meet him on the road. And then in Acts 9, Jesus appeared to the Saul of Tarsus. And Jesus commanded Saul to keep walking to Damascus. And on the other side, he showed up to Ananias and tell him to go to speak to Saul. And now in chapter 10 is Cornelius and Peter. Why? There could be a lot of different reasons, but the one of the main and obvious reason I can think of is that God wants us to be the mean, especially in the area of spreading his gospel, for us to be involved. The book of Acts is not just a book that talks about the early church history. For me, I also see it as a model of how a modern-day church and its body can function and learn. It isn't a coincidence that the Holy Spirit on three occasions showed us how God wants his message or gospel to reach others. That is through people. It is hard for all nations to hear the word, but the primary mean is to use people, normal, ordinary human beings. And the second question was, why did the angel ask Cornelius to send his servants and bring Peter over? God also wanted to teach Peter something, and which includes all of us, that his word is not exclusive to one nation or one race. And it also kind of like aligned with what the video was talking about. So through the vision, God was telling Peter that whatever he has called clean, don't call those unclean or uncommon. Actually, those are the two words Jewish people would call Gentiles, unclean or uncommon. Again, in all these three occasions, with Philip, with Ananias, and with Peter, it was very similar. Like, Peter was told to go and teach a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, who was kind of an outcast, because eunuchs were not common like in those days. Ananias was asked to go and teach the enemy of the gospel, Saul at that time. And Peter was told to go and teach the Gentiles, someone Jew regarded as enemy, dogs, or just a source of the kindling of the fire of hell. Yet God's desire is to save them all. I was reminded that Pride and exclusive mentality can stop us from spreading the gospel to people who we don't like or we think that don't deserve it. I really liked Charles Spurgeon's quote that PSM shared during the service. It's like, be not proud of race, face, place, or grace. Sometimes these things, I feel, can stop us from reaching out to a world that needs to know about Jesus. So what did Peter learn out of all this? Peter was perplexed, apparently, what the vision meant. And as he was like pondering about it, the Holy Spirit tell him to go down and talk to the three men. So Peter obeyed. And through his obedience, unwillingly though, he was able to know the heart of and the character of God, that his salvation is not just for one nation, but for everyone. God orchestrated this. So God brought Peter from Joppa, a Jewish coastal city, to Caesarea, a Gentile coastal city. God was basically breaking down the nation's barriers. God was breaking down the walls between Jews and Gentiles. I just want to share a bit about my personal experience, which is kind of similar to what this has happened. I mean, definitely not as dramatic, but I can share. So, like, I think it was like when I was first serving at Alpha, and like my second or third time back in my old church. After one discussion, I was like, had this nudge in my heart that I should go and pray for a guest. But somehow I had this fear. Somehow I just can't go and pray for that person. Somehow there was a fear in my heart. I can see that the lady was lingering around after the discussions, which actually is a good sign, because someone who is lingering around means he or she is comfortable and he or she wants to learn more. Even though I know that she wanted to learn something, but there was a fear in my heart. I ignored the nudging, and as we all do, tried to do something else to avoid facing the situation. So I went on to work, like the quote-unquote work part. I went to go clean up, fixing the chairs, trying to avoid the whole situation, or trying to pretend that I didn't see the person. Eventually, the lady left. Afterwards, after all the cleanup and everything, I felt so bad. I felt so heavy that I didn't want to go home. So instead of taking a commute, I walked home. So that was like an hour walk. And I was telling God that I was like, how useless I am, how disappointed I am at myself, and more importantly, how disappointed you must be with me that when you asked me to do something, I didn't do it. And I was walking. The only thing came to me like was the situation. Hello. Yeah, the only thing that came in between was the situation where God was telling Moses, "I am that I am," and that was the message that I kind of received it. I knew that God was telling me, "Don't worry about it. I'm in control." But for me personally, I was like, "I know that you are who you are, but like, it doesn't change the fact that I've disappointed you, right?" And I missed an opportunity for someone to be saved and bring the gospel to someone. So it was a bit of a heavy week. So I was not that happy throughout the week. The week passed, and it was Alpha again. I was glad that the lady came back. And this time, I was like, okay, after the discussions, I'll go and pray for her. So the time came, the discussions were over, and the lady was again like lingering around talking with everyone. So I went up and asked her, "But do you want to be prayed for?" And she said yes. And as we were doing, we were praying, she also accepted Jesus into her heart as her Lord and Savior. Later, the lady told me that during the week on her commute back from work to home on a tram, actually she suddenly had this sense that if someone on coming Alpha asked me to accept Jesus, I will do it. When I heard that, I started to get emotional and teary. And I realized that God, without me knowing anything, was working on her heart as well. Suddenly the fear of rejection, the fear of looking like a fool, or just fear of that when you go up to ask someone for prayer, they will say no, was all lifted. The burden of bringing the gospel to others was no longer a burden, but became a free and joyful thing for me. God uses primarily to go and physically speak the gospel, but that doesn't mean that he will leave us hanging. Knowing that God is working on the other person's life should be enough for us to be bold, yet sensitive enough. Whenever he tells us to go and speak the gospel to someone, we should be able to go and speak and tell other people about Jesus. It could be whether you're inviting someone to church, someone to Alpha, house church, or even bringing Christ to your workplace, being the representative of him in your workplace, can come very naturally and very enjoyably. God doesn't need us, but he wants us to be involved in his work. By being involved in his work, it helps us to know more about who he is and his character and what is on his heart. Can I invite Marcus? Actually, another reason that I see God use us to spread the gospel is that God is a relational God. He uses human-to-human interaction to make him known to others. It was very clear. It was not the job of the angel to go and tell Cornelius about the about Jesus. During Alpha, I always get this question, why your God and not some other gods or religion? First, I will tell them that I don't like to use the word religion, but for the sake of those conversation, I will say that this is the only religion that is all-inclusive. Whatever race, whatever color, whatever nationality, whatever food you eat, whatever clothes you wear, you can come to him. There's no rules to stop you from knowing who Jesus is. And on the other hand, I also emphasize to everyone that Christianity is not a religion. It is. That it is a relationship. God wants a relationship with us more than anything else. But in order for this relationship to be developed, he used human-to-human interactions and relationships. We are all his assigned wingman and wingwoman for him to pursue the lost. No matter how broken we are, he chose us to be the vessel. He chose us to be his hands, his feet, and his mouth. The reason that we are not taken to heaven immediately after we accepted Christ is because we have a job to do here on earth. And that is to spread his good news to people that haven't heard him yet. I mean, you'll be surprised to know that how many people haven't even heard about who Jesus is and what he has done. In Acts, Cornelius was just waiting upon someone to come and tell him about Jesus. Even though he loved God, even though he was doing all the right things, but he was not introduced to Jesus. He was longing for someone to come and tell him and guide him on the right path. There's a hungry and desperate world out there who's waiting to know Jesus. and is waiting for us to physically go and tell them. So has God spoken to us about someone that we have to speak the gospel to? Or is there something that is stopping us to go and spread the good news? Whether it be thoughts of like, I'm not qualified. Well, I have just messed up a minute before. So how am I being able to go and speak the word of God to other people? Or fear of looking like a fool. Or the person just doesn't deserve to be saved. Let us spend some time to reflect and ask God to reveal to us what is stopping us and take that fear and away from us.
I see your face. You're beautiful, and I see your face. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. And I see your face. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Before we go into the corporate prayers, I just have this sense that if you're sitting next to an empty chair, just lay your hands on those empty chairs, that someone who comes and sit on those chairs will be able to experience Jesus. And we know that there are a lot of empty chairs today here right now. I just want to ask God to come and fill the hearts of whoever that comes in. Empty chairs is not the heart of God. God wants every sanctuary to be filled and people excited to come and hear about His Word. So let's spend some time just to pray. Let's turn our attention to the community prayer focus. Let's pray for the community of brothers and sisters who are going through cancer and having chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for the community who are sick but also need to know about Jesus. Let's pray that whatever that has happened to Cornelius will also happen to all of them here. That God will be working in their hearts and also send someone to go and talk about the gospel to them. Let's pray for our community who is going through infirmities. Let's pray for our community who is looking for a job. Pray that during this time, they'll be able to get closer to God. And they'll be able to find the job that is on God's heart for them. Let's turn our attention to the mission focus. Let's pray for North Korea, for open doors for ministry, other missional opportunities or partnerships in Asia, persecuted church, and the Middle East. Let's pray for the SP weekend gatherings, Alpha, which is happening later today, PMC, GIC, prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, and all meetings. Let's pray for the house churches that are meeting today. Fortress, House to House, Mawan, Southside, Tavistock, and Westside. I pray that they'll have a fruitful time, fellowship together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, Father God. Even though you don't need us, but you want us to be involved in spreading your gospel, Father God. Thank you for blessing us with this opportunity, Lord. Thank you that you see us worthy to bring the good news to people around, to the lost, to the people that you love as well. Father God, I ask you to continue to reveal to us people that you want us to speak about your gospel to, Father God. I want to thank you, Lord. Thank you that you just love us so much. Thank you in Jesus' name. Have a good, quiet time, and see you guys tomorrow.
In the cross. In the cross, be my glory.